Right, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians, written by the Apostle Paul. And we'll be looking at chapter 7. I have entitled this morning's message, God's Distribution. It is taken from verse 17. But as God had distributed to every man, as the Lord had called everyone, so let him walk. Here the word distribution carries the idea of assignment, assigning particular responsibility to each and every believer by God. Now that is the underlying thought that I want you to bear in your mind as we look at chapter 7, where the Apostle Paul dealt with the issues of relationship raised by the believers in Corinth. Now, the presupposition of that principle is this, that God is sovereign. He is the ruler. And He rules over, and He governs over His people, His redeemed people. And that whatever that we need to understand from that principle, it would help us deal with relationship problems. In particular, it dealt with relationship between men and women. Now, remember that the city of Corinth was a prosperous city, and as in all prosperous city, you find that one of the problems that is connected with such cities is that there is immorality, sexual sins. And so this is a problem that they were thinking, or they were meditating and dealing with, and they raised it with the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul put it this way in verse 1, "Now, concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." Now that part where it is, I would take it as a summary statement by the Apostle Paul of the concern that's been raised by the Corinthian believers to him. You know, between man and woman, the relationship, what are the issues involved, and whether it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Now, what does it mean to not to touch a woman? Well, that term there is a euphemism for sexual intercourse. So the Apostle Paul summarized their questions that are raised as this, that it is good for a man not to have sexual intercourse. So in dealing with this, he told them, yes, it is good, but to avoid fornication. Now if you were to insist on this, that a man should not have sexual intercourse with a woman, then you have to consider this. If you want to avoid fornication, you should enter into the marriage institution as started by God in Genesis. Now it is proper in that relationship that a man and a woman would have that kind of intimate relationship. So is it, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Now that is a way to enjoy the kind of relationship and to avoid fornication, to avoid sexual sin. So this is what we need to bear in mind. We are not exempt from all these sins in this in our age and time. And well, you can see all around us all these sort of difficulties going on. And it is important for us believers to be certain as to how we should conduct ourselves, especially for those who are at the age where there's a need for this kind of relationship. So bear this in mind, that it is not wrong to have sexual relationship in the context of marriage. Okay, so now the Apostle Paul went on to lay down certain principles governing relationship between a husband and wife. So in verses 3 and 4, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Now of course that refers to the intimate act of sex, so to speak. And that the husband and the wife should render this benevolence, this good act. And in verse 4, the wife had not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise, also the husband had not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. So, he said that this sexual relationship is to be properly entered into, and that the husband and wife is not to use it as a tool in their relationship. You know, there are some people or some couples, they have problems. And then to resolve their problems, either the husband or the wife would use sex as, how to call it, a bargaining tool, so to speak, to withhold or to punish or to reward or to entice, whatever, the spouse to do what each one. Now that is a wrong way to use their relationship. You know, the sexual relationship as created or as instituted by God is meant to be a beautiful relationship between a man and woman, showing their love to one another. And that the act itself is a beautiful expression. But unfortunately, because of sin, you find that, and as a result of that, men and women fail to exercise proper control over their physical desires. And sex is one of the things that they have failed to control properly, and especially when they have rebelled against God, they want each one to go their own way, and that they will insist of satisfying their physical need apart from what God has revealed, apart from what God has instituted. And so that led to a lot of problems. Not only do they have problems between themselves, but that they also incur upon themselves the judgment and displeasure of God. So this is a whole problem that believers must see in this light. So that when you look at this problem, you would subject your desires and your relationship and bring it in subjection to God's law, so that you would truly enter into a joyous relationship one with another as husband and wife. And the only time that if you should abstain from having this close intimate relationship, it must be upon mutual agreement and for specific spiritual purpose. You know, so that you may, in verse 5, you may give yourself to fasting and prayer. But then you need to come together again. You need not, it should not be that you should not put yourself through such incontinency for a long period, because you would open yourself to temptation from Satan. And so the Apostle Paul said that it is that believers, husband and wife, need to bear in mind. And in verse 6, he said, I speak this by permission and not a commandment. Now this permission that he's talking about the incontinency that the husband and wife would agree to enter into until the purpose of spiritual purpose is accomplished. Alright. And that it is not a command that men, husband and wife should abstain by command, but rather by permission, by agreement, to accomplish certain purpose. So now, the Apostle Paul, after having said this, then he mentioned in verse 7 and 8 and 9, for I would that all men were even as myself. Now it is in the light of continency that every man had this, in other words, refraining from sexual intercourse. See, I would that every man were even as I myself. But every man had his proper gift of God.
one after this manner and another after that.
Now it is here in reply to the question raised, it is good that a man should not have sexual intercourse. So he said, properly look at, you find that in the institution of marriage, it should be enjoyed in that situation, but it is good if men were like himself. So it is taken that Paul probably was married, but maybe the spouse passed away, and that he is in a state where he is now celibate, so to speak. But he said that it is not something that he would put on everyone, because according to what the Bible has revealed, that when God created man and woman, he also instituted marriage. So sexual relationship is normal and blessed by God. So if you were to, the normal thing is not continency, but rather a proper relationship. But if you should enter into that state of continency, then that means that you should have the gift of that state from God. So it's not something that you force upon yourself. Okay? So that's all. Therefore, he say in verse 8, therefore to their married and widowed, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. So he said that as they look at this issue of relationship in the church, among themselves, marriage is not wrong. And if you have problem dealing with your physical needs, then you need to go about seeking to have it resolved in a proper way. In other words, seek a good proper partner, seeking the Lord's will. And God, being God, He has created us that way, will help you, will bless you as you go about honoring Him. And you find that you can then not commit sins of adultery, of fornication, and thus, you know, bringing God's displeasure and God's judgment upon you. So, he said that that is, in this light, we must subject ourselves to this. And then he went on to tell them that about a relationship between husband and wife. Alright, after having said that there are proper guidance, sex is to be properly used, properly enjoyed by husband and wife, not to be used as a weapon or tool, but rather an expression of love. And that as a result, you find that in verse 10, he said, to a married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. So it's not just only the wife, but also let not the husband put away his wife in verse 10 of verse 11. Okay, verse 10, the wife depart from her husband, let the wife depart, and verse 11, let not the husband put away his wife. Now, that is referring to this matter of divorce. And as far as the Apostle Paul is concerned, it is the Lord's command that there is no divorce. Let not the wife divorce her husband, and let not the husband divorce his wife. So, where is this found? Well, let me turn you to Mark chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. Here, in reply to the question raised by the Pharisees, you know, about the divorce. And in verse 8 and 9, in the midst of the answering, Christ mentioned what God had done in the beginning. Verse 8, and they twain shall be one flesh. Alright. For God made them male and female. Verse 7, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And verse 8, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then there are no more twain but one flesh. And in verse 9, what therefore God had joined together, let no man put asunder. Let no man put asunder. You know, in other words, you don't let any man affect the relationship or split the relationship. And not just the third party, but also the husband and the wife. Let not the husband put away his wife, and let not the husband wife depart from the husband. So this is the commandment of the Lord, because this is the original intention of God, that there is the two shall be one flesh. So the Apostle Paul said in verse 10, unto the married I command, yet not I by the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband, but that if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not her husband put away his wife. Now, so the clear instruction from the Lord is that no divorce, but in the event of the situation, in the event that then there's a need to be separated or to be divorced, then he said that let the wife remain unmarried. In that case, well, let the husband remain unmarried, because if they were to marry somebody else, they were actually committing the sins of adultery. So the whole idea is to have problem resolved between married couple and to stay together. Okay? That's why you see the encouragement from Paul that remain unmarried and be reconciled, or be reconciled to husband. So that is the principles and the guidelines that you and I must bear in mind. And that is the solution that the Apostle Paul offered to the Corinthian believers in the midst of all these troubles you see around you. You know, the world, unbelievers, they conduct their life in that manner. But as believers, we conduct our lives according to God, to what He has laid down for us. Okay. And then he said that, now that is referring to believers. How about other category in verse 12? But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. Who is the rest? Well, I think in the context, it will refer to couples in mixed marriages. In other words, the husband is a believer, the wife is not, or the wife is a believer, the husband is not. Now, here in this case, I would not draw the conclusion that a believer can go and find an unbeliever for marriage. In other words, a lady, a woman, Christian, should go and look for an unbeliever to get married, or a Christian man, look for an unbelieving woman to marry. But rather here in this case, that you have a couple, and one of them heard the gospel and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So either the wife or the husband got saved. But because they are married, so does it mean that being a believer, being a Christian, then you leave your husband or wife, you divorce your husband or your wife? Paul said no. In verse 12, now, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord. Now, what does it mean that not? Because the Lord Jesus Christ did not speak specifically or directly to this issue, but Paul said that I, based on what he understands God's teaching is, he said that I would tell you, alright, that the if any brother had a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which had an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. So in other words, if one of the couple were to get married, remain in the marriage, even though the spouse, they do not believe. So, now the reason is this, alright? For in verse 14, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. Now that is a very important consideration. What does it mean by being sanctified? Well, here the idea of sanctification is being set apart. Okay? So, by the believing spouse remaining with the unbelieving spouse had the effect of setting apart the unbelieving spouse. In what sense? You find that here it carries the idea of influence. Influence towards holiness. Because the believer, having the salvation of God and forgiveness and new life, and living that life, will show forth God's dealing with sinners. And so it's important for the believer, believing spouse to remain with the unbelieving spouse, so that they will continue by their lives to affect, to influence the unbelieving ones. And then in so doing, bring them to understand God's gracious salvation through Jesus Christ. So that is the it's an important influence. And then the children, they were unclean, but they are holy. Now what does Paul mean by this? Well, it refers to the covenantal benefit given by God. The children also receive blessings or covenant as covenanted by God. So you find that by staying as a married unit, influencing the husband as well as the children. So this is the reason why if you have come to know the Lord and you have believed yourself, but if your husband or your wife have not believed, do not despair and do not give up. But live by the grace of God to show them the way of salvation. You'll find that God will also work in and through you. Now, you find that Paul dealt with that, and he said that in verse 15, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt have saved thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? So Paul now is dealing with the other eventuality, that you know, even if the believing spouse would want to remain in it, but the unbelieving spouse may not. So if that happens, then Paul said, well, don't force it. If the unbelieving husband or wife wants to leave, let them leave. In other words, deal with it graciously and gracefully, so that, you know, by God's grace, you will never know whether your life will be used of God to bring them to salvation. So, now what is the underlying principle guarding all these guidelines? You find that Paul went on to say this, to show them the underlying principle in verse 17. But as God had distributed to every man, as the Lord had called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordained I in all churches. This is the sort of thing that he is teaching to all believers, governing relationship between man and woman in marriage. So the principle is this, that as God has assigned you responsibility, alright, you live according to God's assignment. Alright, if you have been saved in a marriage situation where your spouse is not believing, then stay in it. Work at it, trusting in God's blessings. Okay? Now, he went on to quote two examples to illustrate this. He said that, is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any man called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. So you find that, you know, in his time, even in our present day too, it may happen. There are the Jews they are all circumcised. And if they became Christian, do they need to make themselves uncircumcised? Or on the other hand, Gentiles who became Christians, they, you know, by culture, they are not circumcised. Then should they seek for circumcision? Paul said no. The important thing is not so much circumcision itself, but because the circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Now that is very important for all men. Now keeping of commandments of God is a clear reflection of one's relationship with God. As the Lord Jesus Christ said in John, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now keeping of commandments is an expression of love to God. You know, a lot of believers got problem in dealing with the law of God because they have the wrong idea that they need to have to show their righteousness. They need to show that they are holy. So keeping of commandment means to show themselves holy. But Paul said, the Lord said, keeping of commandment is expressing love towards God. So you find that if you love God, you keep the commandments. If you love God, you worship Him. If you love God, you will read His Word. If you love God, you will do all the right things. And you find that it's, you know, just, you find that if you understand it as in terms of love, then it is not an issue for us to live righteously before God and man. Because it is no more a burden. You know, just like you, when you love somebody, you would go out of your way to do things for the person you love, isn't it? When you don't like a person, then you wouldn't want to do anything. A small thing will become an issue with you. You know, you would quarrel or you would make it difficult. But when you have love, you would do all you can to be pleasing to that person. Likewise, if you love God, you will keep His commandment. So the issue is not so much the physical acts itself. You know, you may be circumcised or uncircumcised, you may do all these things, but if you do it without love, it's meaningless. But if you love and you do it, it carries a lot of meaning and joy and pleasure in it. So, the Apostle Paul quoted the example that life, when you receive it from God, see it this way and love Him and you keep His commandments. Now, the other example he quoted is in verse 20 onwards. Verse 21, art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. So you find that the example is about a believer got saved, but he is a servant. A slave to somebody. Alright. The Apostle Paul said, look, don't worry about it. You know, it doesn't mean that it is a shameful thing or it's a low down thing to be a servant to some people. It doesn't matter because Paul said you are set free by Christ. You see, the important thing is not so much the outward relationship. The important thing is that you have been set free by God from sin. But now, instead of being the slave of sin, you become the slave of God, the slave of righteousness. Okay, so it doesn't matter by physical or outward relationship, you are subservient to another person. But in reality, you are the servant of the Most High God. You are free from sin, but you serve God, and in that light, you live your life. Okay? And in so doing, if you do well, and your master is pleased with you and want to set you free, by all means, enjoy the freedom as God bless you. Now, though this is the principle that you need to bear in mind. So, Paul was telling the believers in Corinth that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, really, whatever station, whether you are married, whether you are a slave, or whatever situation, live unto God. Okay, that's very important. And in verse 24, in verse 23, he said, you were bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, then abide with God. That is the thing that we need to bear in mind. That you are saved by God, you are bought with a price, you belong to Him, then you find that God take upon Himself to assign you various particular responsibilities. And you can take it that whatever situation you're in, that is a responsibility that's assigned you. Alright, you're a married woman, married man, be responsible as a husband or as a wife, as a father or mother, or as whatever job you're in, be responsible, whether you're an engineer, teacher, lawyer, worker, whatever. Do well as a redeemed man of God or woman of God. Now that is the underlying principle. So, once you see this clearly, then you understand why Paul used it as a solution to the issue raised by the Corinthian believer. They were in the cultural situation where they see all these sexual problems, sexual sins amongst people. Paul said, look, if you are a believer, these are the principles. Okay. Sex is to be properly entered into in the institution of marriage. Nowhere else. No other relationship should be entertained. Okay? If you do that, you'll be sinning sexually against not only other people, but against God Himself. And that, in that light, you are to deal with the relationship properly, no divorce, resolve problems. And then the other issue with unbelieving spouses, remain with them graciously, lovingly, seeking to be an influence to bring them to know the Lord. And if they should want to go, let them go, trusting that God one day will bring them back to you and to salvation, more importantly. So that is what the Apostle Paul wrote to resolve the issue raised by them in verse 1 of chapter 7. And then now we come to verse 25. He begins, now concerning virgins. Alright, here is another issue or another question raised. Well, it is also have to do with relationship, but here it is the state of a person. A virgin is not just only the women who have not been married or have not entered into a sexual relationship, but rather it is to be taken as a state of virginity, the idea of not having entered into relationship with others physically. Now he said, concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I gave my judgment as one that obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Again, if you were to search the scriptures, you find that, and also in the not only the Old Testament but the New Testament, you find that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has not specifically dealt with this issue of virgins or people who have not been married. Okay. Now the Apostle Paul said, even though that may be the case, but I gave my judgment, and that the reason why I can give my judgment because I have obtained much mercy from the Lord, to the extent that I am trustworthy. Okay, they have obtained much mercy of the Lord. I have obtained much grace from God, much understanding from Him, that I am trustworthy when I make statements about this. And his confidence is reflected also in verse 40. All right, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. So you find that it's not just he is not just giving his own personal opinion, but whatever judgment that he passed on to the believers, it is based on God's revealed word. It's not beyond God's word. It's always subject to God's revelation, to God's truth. Now that is how the Apostle Paul dealt with the believers. So bear in mind now as we look at how he dealt with relationship. Here some people say engaged couples. Okay. Now, we'll look at verse 26 and we'll see what he has to say about this. I say, I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man's soul to be. In other words, remain a virgin, in a state of virginity. And that it is a good state to be in. Bearing in mind that the present distress, you know, all it is troublesome. The world is troublesome around you, isn't it? You know, it is so in the Apostle Paul's day, and it is so with us in our present time and age. It's so much problem around us. You know, if you were to look at society, you look at the situation around. Well, in a recent month, we're talking about credit crunch. You know, not enough money, economic problems, and that leads to so many other problems. I was just talking to some brothers and sisters the other night, and they were talking about, you know, when you look at issue in a economic issue, it's not just one issue. It has got ramification. You know, if the export is affected, then you find it affects the other sectors of your society, and problems multiply. Now, not just only problems in terms of economics, but also problems in terms of relationship. And so the Apostle Paul said, when you look at present distress, he said it would be good if you were to remain in a state of virginity, not being involved in a sexual relationship, and even a proper one, especially a proper one. And then, you know, you don't even consider the illicit sexual relationship, alright? Now, So in verse 27, he said, art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loose. Art thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. So here again, he's reiterating the principle. As God has assigned you, whatever state you're in, so now you're in a state of virginity, you are not married to anybody, remain it. Do not seek a wife. Just as those who have a wife do not seek to be divorced or to be separated or be loose from a wife. So he said that if you are a virgin, remain that way, it is good because of the present distress. Now in verse 28, but if thou marry, now he went on to illustrate further what he means by problems and difficulties. Now if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. But if a virgin marry, she had not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you. Okay, for those who have a state of virginity, and you may have some people in mind, or some other believers, that you are interested in, and may even consider marriage. Right? If you want to marry, you have not sinned. Okay? But nonetheless, you would have trouble in the flesh. And I want to spare you this, actually. In verse 29, by this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that the body, they that have, it remaineth that both they that have wives, as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Now, he's saying this, that if you get, you must look at life in this world, in this, in a proper perspective. Do not let all these things so grip your attention that you lose sight of what is important. You know? So he said that, you know, if you're weep as though you're not weeping, or you are buying as though you are not having, and you have a wife as though you do not have, or you have a husband as though, in other words, those ought not be the center of focus for you. Because when you do that, it distracts you from the most important thing. Because all these things cause you to have worry and care. In verse 32, I would have you without carefulness, in other words, without anxiety, without worry. Now he that is married careth for the things that belong to the Lord. He that is unmarried rather, careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. So he's saying that if you are unmarried and you're a virgin, if you remain so, it is good because you are able to focus your attention on the things that belong to God, and that you would seek to please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Well, it's not wrong. If you're married, you want to take care of your wife or your husband. And so because of this, your attention is diverted, or you are distracted from serving Christ and pleasing the Lord fully. Alright? Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, we married people are at a disadvantage. But rather that we must see what Paul is trying to say. That life and all these attending things must be put in the right perspective, in against that of serving God, that you have been bought with a price. Alright, so now, he said that because when you are married, you are distracted by so many other concerns and care. And as a result, you have the tendency to dissipate your energy and your commitment to please God, to honor Him, to serve Him. Now, he said that in verse 34, there is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and spirit, but as she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Here Paul is applying this both to the man and the woman. And that, so he's in fact telling those who are not married, alright, do not be concerned to get married. Why? Because when you do so, you will get yourself so involved that you know, there's a chance, or there is a possibility of you not living committed to please God and to serve Him. Now, bearing that in mind, now, if any man think that he behave himself uncomely towards his virgin, if he pass the flower of age and need so require,
Let him do what he will, he sinneth not. Let him marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power of his own will, hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well.
In other words, though Paul advised or counseled that those who are not married should not get married, all right? But he said that if you cannot deal with the physical desire or need properly, then get married, all right? Rather than not married and then you put yourself into a very difficult state, or even the possibility of committing sin. Say, don't do that. Get married. There's nothing wrong. Okay, it's nothing wrong for you to get married. But if you should decide that you can remain single, so much the better. Because you can focus all your energy to live for God. Okay? So now, this is his counsel for people who are in a state of virginity, who are not married yet. Paul counseled them to consider remaining single or putting off the marriage until such time that they need to. Okay. Now that is his counsel to believers who are in that state. So, for those of you who are seeking for a spouse or a husband or a wife, do not be discouraged. I know some of you have got some prospective people in mind. I do not mean to let you to discourage you with this today, but rather to remind you of something important. Okay, I will conclude with that. But now we will look at the last two verses. The Apostle Paul now came to a category, the widows. Now he has not spoken much about the widows in the preceding verses, but then he now comes to it, because the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. Now here again, he's saying that if a lady, if a Christian believer is widowed, the husband passed away, she is free to marry again. Alright, it's alright. No, there's no sin. Okay, in fact, in other places, he even encouraged, you know, widows who are young and they need to be married because they have physical need, then get married. Alright, there's nothing wrong in it. But he said, if she so abide remaining single or remaining, not seeking marriage again, Paul said that it is better. He's happier if he remains in that case. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. So now, the whole issue that we need to look at is not just this matter of marriage and relationship, but rather, what is the center of your focus? What grips your attention? Is it sexual relationship? You know, we are so concerned about our relationship. But Paul said the most important thing, the relationship that underlies all, is our relationship with God. You and I are bought with a price. Okay? Let me remind you, let me refer you rather to verse 23. You're bought with a price. You belong to God. You and I belong to God. And that so we should live our life realizing that this relationship is the most important. And it is this relationship that you grasp properly that will help you tackle all other relationship problems. Okay? So, husband and wife, if God is the center focus, then you ought to seek to deal with your marital problems in that light. And if you honor God, you want to deal with the husband or wife lovingly, keeping God's covenant, expressing your love that way. And you will not want to commit sexual sin. Not just because you will hurt your wife or your husband. More importantly, you are sinning against God, because God is not pleased with adultery and fornication. It's very clear. In the last message, I mentioned it. That adulterers and fornicators shall not enter the kingdom of God. So, you find that That is what you need to grasp. All right. As Paul, in this chapter, dealt with relationship, sexual relationship. Now, that is on the surface. The underlying relationship is the most important. You and God. And that if you, whether you are single or married, and that you focus on God, and you all your resources and energy is brought to live in that light, then you find that you'll be the happiest of men. God will bless you mightily in many ways. So, for those of you who have yet to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, alright, and you have not trusted in Christ, but you are facing relationship problem, well, no one to say, well, I have no problem. You find that everyone has problem in this world. Family problems, work problems, problem with siblings, problem with friends, all right, and relationship problems in terms of sex. So how do you handle, how do you deal with all these things? Now my advice to you is this: in order for you to properly handle all this, you need to get right first with God. You need to settle your relationship. You need to first be reconciled to God. And the way of reconciliation is through Jesus Christ. He came, shedding his blood, laying down his life, shedding his blood, so that you can have your sins forgiven when you turn to him, trusting in his provision, and you trust him, God will forgive you and reconcile you to him. And when you are in the right relationship with God, then with God's help and with God's grace, you'll be able to deal with all the other problems in relationship with in your life. And you will come to enjoy eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is my prayer that if you have not believed in the Lord, that you today would turn to the Lord and quickly get right. Frankly speaking, you know, if you can solve by yourself whatever problems you think you are that you are facing right now, even if you solve that, but what about your relationship with God? If you are not settled with your sin problem, you are under God's condemnation, and in that day, you cannot pass judgment, pass God's judgment. You cannot clear His judgment. You will be condemned to eternal damnation. So if you understand it rightly, then you would see that all the problems in the world is a reflection of our problems with God. And as a result of sin, man separated from God, and all the other things came about in the way we go about to deal with it. The way we resolve it apart from God's truth and law and commandment led to more problems. And this is what we see in this world, and what we see as revealed in God's word. So let me now encourage you with these final words, that in dealing with relationship problems, the Apostle Paul sought to bring to the understanding of the believers that the most important thing they need to understand is this: their relationship with God. And in that light, deal with all your other problems in accordance to His truth, and you will do well. May the Lord bless you. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, what many things we take for granted.